A new report shows that climate science is working. CEO of the Climate Institute, Erwin Jackson, Deputy CEO of the Climate Institute, will be joining us virtually immediately. Since its introduction in July this year, the carbon price has been criticised by the coalition as a tax that would, a wrecking ball, wasn't it going to be? Was going to hurt families and business. The Greens said that at $23 a tonne, the emission price was too low and the compensation too big to emitters. Now, a new report by the energy consultancy firm Pitt & Sherry says that the carbon price is working. The report says that combined with rising retail power prices and a fall in demand for electricity, three of our dirtiest coal power stations have made big cuts to their output, and therefore greenhouse gas emissions are coming down. Joining us is Erwin Jackson, as I mentioned earlier, Deputy CEO of the Climate Institute. Good morning to you, Erwin.
Good morning.
Now, everyone thought that this was the carbon price that would ruin us all. Is this proof that it was never as bad as was made out by opponents?
Well, it was never going to be, and there were some very extraordinary claims around the impact that the carbon price would have on the economy and on particular sectors of the economy by, you know, companies like mining companies, etc. But all the analysis that was done, independent analysis was done, was showed that if implemented properly, the carbon price would start to drive emission reductions and pollution reductions in Australia, and the economy would keep growing.
Now, so what's actually happening to households to decrease the use of electricity? Are people generally just more conscious of making sure that, well, if there's no one in the room, the light's off?
Well, there's a whole range of factors at play. It's not just the carbon price. We also have the renewable energy target, which has been in place for a number of years. We've also got a number of state and federal programs which have been designed to help households improve energy efficiency, whether they be through standards for the appliances we buy or for the houses that we purchase or for industry more broadly. And all of these things are coming together combined with higher energy prices. And they appear to be a combination of factors which are actually impacting the electricity market and reducing emissions.
So how much are the decreases in electricity due to the carbon price? Can any of it be sheeted home to the carbon price?
Well, I think it's reasonable to say that some of the carbon price is having an impact. Exactly how much of an impact, it's probably too early to tell. It has actually only been in place for a few months.
Yes.
But certainly what we are seeing is consistent with what you'd expect from a combination of the carbon price with the renewable energy target and the energy efficiency programs that we've got in place around the country. And that is that emissions from the energy sector are in decline. And indeed, the electricity sector emissions at the moment appear to be at their lowest level than they have been in 6 years now.
And this doesn't appear to be affecting growth at all, importantly.
No, well, the economy was always going to continue to grow, even with the carbon price. All the analysis that we had done with CSIRO, which Treasury had done, which other independent agencies had done, all looking at the impact of carbon pricing in Australia over the last even 20 years, have all shown the same basic conclusion that with the introduction of a carbon price, if done properly, you can reduce national emissions quite significantly and at the same time grow jobs and grow the economy.
So at this stage, and you may not know, are we on target to reach the agreed targets as a result of the Kyoto Accords?
Well, one of the things we haven't really focused on in the debate around the carbon price is that it's actually just not a price. It actually does involve an absolute limit on emissions in those sectors that are covered by the scheme. So in 2015, the government will need to implement an overall cap on the amount of emissions that Australia can put into the air. And that will be the key determinant of whether we meet our targets. And by default, that cap will come in at a level that is consistent with the commitments we've made under Kyoto, and indeed may even see us overachieving our Kyoto targets. So the other important part of it is that cap is flexible. So if we decide that we want to actually do more effort and play more of a share towards the global effort that's going on at the moment, we can increase that target quite easily and reduce national emissions.
Yeah. So why are electricity prices on the up and up? And then it's not solely due to the carbon price. It's to do with the gold plating of the service. Is that it?
Well, historically, most of it is actually due to upgrading our electricity transmission and distribution networks. Well, there is a small component of that, which is also the impact of things like the renewable energy target and the state-based energy efficiency policies and so forth. But the vast majority of the price increases we've seen in recent years has been because of investment in the network infrastructure.
Finally, Owen, I suppose businesses crave certainty as much as anything else in being able to be able to predict the or anticipate the future. Does it seem to you that businesses, generally speaking, accepting emission targets and a carbon price as a reality?
Well, I think the vast majority would accept that the issue is not going to go away, regardless of what you think of the particular policy, whether it be the coalition's policy or the government's policy. Everyone recognises that we do have to significantly reduce emissions, and then the question becomes, what is the most cost-effective way to do that? The issue that we have at the moment is that we don't really, because there are such divergent views between the both major parties, that there isn't the level of certainty that we need to make the long-term large-scale investments that we need that are ultimately going to be required if we are going to achieve those long-term emission reduction targets. And until we get that, industry are going to be reluctant to make those kinds of massive investments in clean energy and energy efficiency that are going to be required in the longer term. And that is a problem for us because that means we will be less competitive against those countries like the Chinese and the Europeans who are actually getting on with the job and doing that at the moment.
You may not be able to answer this, but you may have some insight. Can you see any solution to the division between the major parties on the issue?
Well, you know, that's a difficult question to answer, and, you know, I couldn't speak for either major party, but at the end of the day, both major parties are committed to reducing emissions by 5 to 25%. It's very clear, based on the economics of it, that carbon pricing and a flexible caps to achieve those emission reductions are the most cost-effective way to reduce emissions. And you would hope that as through time, as the public more broadly realise that the impact isn't as bad as they were told, and the business itself desires greater levels of uncertainty, you would actually come to some sort of bipartisan approach which supported effective carbon policy in Australia.
Indeed. Edwin, thanks for joining us this morning. I wish you all the best.
My pleasure.
Okay.